Us on WLRN-TV 17 for John Sebastian Presents Folk Rewind. The show hosted by the lead singer of The Lovin' Spoonful features Pete Seeger, Judy Collins, and other folk-era legends. That's John Sebastian Folk Rewind, Thursday, December 6th, 8 p.m., WLRN-TV 17.
Chapman Partnership provides more than just food and shelter for the homeless. They are committed to making the homeless whole again. From treatment for medical, dental, and mental health issues to vocational training to child care and housing placement, Chapman Partnership guides the homeless from hopelessness to self-sufficiency, having served over 90,000 people with a success rate upwards of 62%. You can help the homeless with your support for Chapman Partnership. Details at 877-548-6369 or chapmanpartnership.org.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. On the program today, you'll hear about an exciting new season from the Chopin Foundation of the United States, the first and hopefully annual Key West Film Festival, and our Miami-Dade County Arts Calendar with Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. This is the time of the year when it seems all of South Florida goes a bit crazy for contemporary art. Tens of thousands of visitors fill the hotels, the roads seem impassable, but there is an excitement in the air that is contagious. And the contagion is none other than Art Basel Miami Beach. This year's version will offer 260 of the world's finest galleries, together with performance and video art, public art projects, and a profusion of satellite fairs, local art museum events, and affiliated offerings. It's quite a dizzying time here in South Florida for the art world, and with us today to help us catch our breath is Bob Goodman, president of Garber and Goodman Advertising, Art Basel's Florida representative. Bob, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Ed, it's always a pleasure. We've been doing this maybe 8-10 years now.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob, it's always great to have you join us. Tell me about your impressions of Art Basel Miami Beach's influence on South Florida's economic front and artistic front.
I live here since I'm a little boy, and I've seen so many changes in Greater Miami and South Florida. Mm-hmm. And I recall vividly how this was really a wasteland. Nobody thought of us as having any cultural life or love or interest. And I think Art Basel Miami Beach has helped change that, and I'm very proud to have been part of that over the last, I've been with the company now about 12 years, and I know that it's provided economic benefits to South Florida as well. Our hotels are full. People enjoy the restaurants, the airlines are full, and this is the kind of tourists we want, people that come in from all over America, from South America and from Europe, all over the world, to enjoy Art Basel and as well as all that Miami has to offer.
Now, on an artistic front, a boon?
Yeah, it seems like it has. I know that there are more art-related businesses thriving than ever before. It's helped the museums, and certainly it's been a major economic benefit to all of us.
So you told me that last year you all accommodated about 50,000 people at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Do you expect a bigger crowd this year?
We never know. I would imagine we'll have the same kind of a crowd based upon reservations and interest that we've gotten so far. And it isn't about, you know, building more and more people. It's about bringing people that want to enjoy art and buy art and learn more about it. That's really what makes this fair so important.
Has there been in the PR world a quoted number of how much money is moved every year by Art Basel, Miami Beach?
We really haven't done any economic surveys, so I wouldn't want to, you know, conjecture as far as real dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, every year Art Basel seems to grow in marvelous new ways. What new events are you including in this year's Art Basel Miami Beach?
The New World Center Park on Miami Beach has been open, I guess, for about 2 years, mm-hmm. with an unbelievable large screen that people enjoy seeing film and sitting on the lawn and that kind of thing. So what we did this year is partner with them to present what we call Art Basel Miami Beach Art Video. And we will be showing videos throughout the week on the large screen. And online has the lineup from Wednesday through Saturday. And I think that it's a wonderful experience that people will have in watching these videos on this huge screen, all free and open to the public.
It's Wednesday, December 5th, next week through Saturday the 8th. And Bob, can you tell us a few of the films we might be able to see?
My goodness, there must be 40 or 50 videos of all kinds, and they're all actually for sale. They're all brought in by different galleries that have applied, and I wouldn't even begin to tell you the names, but I can tell you they're from all over the world, and they're very unique and different and interesting. You know, bring your popcorn and see art videos. I think it'll be a new experience for everyone.
For a complete list, I'm sure you can find it on artbasel.com.
Exactly.
Are those screenings free?
Yes, free and open to the public.
And I bet you encourage bring a chair and a picnic basket.
Well, I don't know about the picnic basket, but I certainly would say a chair or a blanket would work. It's great.
Now, tell me about Art Public. Opening night is on December 5th. There'll be special performances?
Exactly. What Art Public means is the park called Collins Park that spans from Collins Avenue west to the Bass Museum, which is about a block or so. We will have from Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. through Sunday, continuous performances and public art. It will be outdoor sculptures and interactive performances and site-specific installations and public artworks, all open to the public and free. And it is all curated by a very wonderful woman by the name of Christine Kim, and she is the curator of the Contemporary Art Museum in Los Angeles. And she's put together some of the most interesting sculptures and art pieces that will be brought in from all over the world. And we also are offering guided tours that gives you more insight into what you'll be looking at and seeing.
Now, public opening night will take place next Wednesday, December 5th, with a program of special performances, as you've mentioned. Large-scale sculpture, video installation, and live performance. How exciting as Art Basel Miami Beach branches out into the community. Magnificent. Let's talk about Art Basel Conversations. You've always had great lectures and workshops in many different areas and new areas concerning art collecting.
You know, Art Basel Conversations is a very unique panel discussion that's held every morning at the Miami Beach Convention Center. And it's, again, free and open to the public. And generally, from what I've seen every year, it's grown and there isn't an empty seat. And what we do is bring in a moderator who deals with a panel that is a number of important people from all areas having to do with the topic that is going to be discussed that morning. It's 11 o'clock in the morning at the Miami Beach Convention Center, Hall D, like David. And I would encourage anybody to come and listen. You'll find it very provocative and interesting topics with a wonderful group of people that will take part in those discussions.
So if you're interested in increasing your art education, you can join artists, leading museum directors, collectors, curators, and many of the cultural players on this year's panels for Art Basel Conversations and Art Salon. Once again, more information at artbasel.com. Bob, please elaborate on the art tours. Those are within the Miami Beach Convention Center.
You know, with many people going to the art fair every year, we've been asked if there were art tours, guided tours, with a docent that would be able to provide more interesting background on the artists, the galleries. And, you know, every piece of art has a story attached to it. So what we have, and it's been growing every year, is we have these tours. They're 1 hour in duration, and they're both in English and Spanish. And it's a wonderful way to move through the fair to get a better idea of what's going on behind the scenes relative to the art that you'll be experiencing.
Now, Art Kids is something fairly new. You can bring your whole family. And
It's just great because we found that many couples will come to the art fair with children in tow. And we have been partnering with the Miami Children's Museum for a number of years. And they have counselors and people there in a large room that oversee the children, and the kids don't want to leave when the parents come to want to pick them up. They're doing finger paint and all kind of things, making things with clay and on and on. So if you have children from the age of 4 to 12, I think it'd be a wonderful thing to leave them there and then walk around the fair, and don't forget to pick them up.
Wheelchairs and scooters are available. Manual wheelchairs and scooters are available on a first-come, first-served basis at the Miami Beach Convention Center in a number of locations. And as we wrap it up, our annual conversation with our guest, Bob Goodman of Garber and Goodman Advertising. Bob, what illuminaries might you be expecting this year?
I don't know. They generally are last-minute phone calls from them or their agents, mm-hmm. whatever. But I had the great pleasure last year, I recall, of welcoming Tony Bennett, and I know the our previous governor came 2 years in a row. I believe that Senator Rubio is coming to opening day. And last year, Rocky Sly Stallone came, and other important people and athletes, Alex Fernandez and Mike Piazza. And, you know, what's interesting about it, Ed, is that many celebrities today are acquiring art and are interested in art, and they'd like to walk through the fair unnoticed and go incognito. I walked by Steve Martin about 3 or 4 years ago, and he had on a tennis hat pulled over his head, so most people wouldn't even notice him as they're looking and walking around. I did notice him, but I didn't want to bother him.
I turned around last year, and there was Will Smith with his entourage, and I couldn't get 20 feet in front of him, I tell you. Well, Mr. Bob Goodman, thank you so much for joining us again on South Florida Arts Beat. Bob Goodman of Garber and Goodman Advertising for Art Basel, Miami Beach. Good luck, sir.
Let's make a promise we do it again next year.
Yes, sir.
My pleasure.
To make some sense of the explosion of art offerings next week, of course, go to artbasel.com. And for satellite fair and local museum offerings, consult miamiartguide.com or call them at 305-573-9530. Please stay with us here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
You're tuned to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWN. Great to have you along. The time is 20 past one.
The Miami Children's Chorus shares the magic of the holidays in Voices of Angels. This exuberant holiday concert features recognizable holiday favorites like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, in addition to multicultural holiday choral pieces. You can hear the 150-plus voices of the MCC on Sunday, December 16th, 4 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church of Coral Gables. Details at miamichildrenschorus.org or 305-662-7494. We'd like to thank our corporate underwriters, the Florida National University, Chapman Partnership, and Manchester Business School. These corporate underwriters help bring you the programs you enjoy throughout the year. Please join WLRN in thanking them for their continued support.
You're listening to South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll find out about the premier Key West Film Festival with film critic Dan Hudak. Today's arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Our classical arts contributor Charles Greenfield previews a new season from the Chopin Foundation.
Young and talented pianists usually face an obstacle course of frustrating traps and illusory hope in their journey towards career success. For one thing, it's nearly prohibitive to rent an auditorium and gain sufficient public notice. And without critical support and reviews, how does one maintain momentum? There's self-promotion. You can record and try to distribute CDs of your performances or create a blog with musical excerpts of your repertoire, a few rough-edged YouTube videos accompanied by a cheery photo. But such amateur self-advertising is ultimately limited to the internet, where its narrow circuitry rarely creates much demand for future concertizing. So the traditional approach through international competitions remains essential. Emerging young pianists must enter and win crucial piano competitions. To fill a void where competition on the music of Chopin locally and nationally was unavailable, Blanka Rosenstiel, president of the American Institute of Polish Culture, in 1975, along with the University of Miami School of Music, initiated the first American national Chopin piano competition, held every 5 years. Five finalists automatically attend the International Chopin Competition in Warsaw for live auditions in the spring and final competition in the fall. The next national competition will be held in Miami in 2015. South Florida's Chopin Foundation of the United States has produced winners like Kevin Kenner, who won the top prize in 1990, and Gabriela Montero, the bronze medal winner in 1995 in Warsaw. The 2005 national Chopin winner was Meeting Sun, who was called a miracle of lightness, speed, and precision by the Boston Globe. And American Rachel Kudo, also in 2005, was the only American to reach the finals in Warsaw. The Chopin Foundation of the United States, in collaboration with Southern Wine and Spirits of America, have just announced their 2012-13 season of Chopin for All free concert series. Recently, I had the chance to talk to the executive director of the Chopin Foundation of the United States, Viga Gvert. We discussed the upcoming season and its young pianists. Viga, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Even though the next national competition is not until 2015, with the final showdown in Warsaw, Poland that fall, there's a new crop of very talented young pianists worldwide. What are some of the criteria judges must use to make the final choices?
It's not an easy task. Actually, we concentrate, we, the Chopin Foundation, on the American pianists. And, of course, we are looking for them since the previous competition is over to find them through the scholarship program that we run and looking for the finalists or winners of other major competitions who are U.S. citizens. And we invite them for the concerts here. We try to encourage them to play more Chopin and get ready. What are the criteria? All the jurors are pianists, performing pianists, who know perfectly well how to play Chopin, and they use their own judgment, and usually they come with the best in our competition.
Well, since we're talking about Chopin, what is the essence of Chopin for you? What are those qualities you think that the judges are looking for when they listen to Chopin?
Of course, they are looking for the best pianist in the competition. This is the first thing. But it's not only, because Chopin requires a special interpretation. Chopin's music is poetic, it's sad, it's singing with the folk motifs in it. Not everyone plays Chopin in this romantic way, and actually this is what the jurors are looking for.
Well, the free Chopin for All concert series for 2012-13, sponsored with Southern Wine and Spirits, comprises seven concerts this particular season. Your first concert took place on October 20th and 21st with pianists Connie Chen and Gabrielle Chow. The second concert, December 1st and 2nd, brings cellist Jonah Kim and pianist Andrew Tyson. Tell us about these young artists and the program.
Jonah Kim is re-invited to our concert series. He played for us before, and he's phenomenal. He is only 24, but they call him the second Yoyoma, and he makes a nice career. This time we coupled him with Andrew Tyson, who is one of the winners of our 2010 competition, also a rising star of the piano. So together, being so talented and so good-looking, I believe they will present a successful concert playing not only Chopin, but also Rachmaninoff and Piazzolla, and even Fritz Kreisler.
Oh, and what's the Rachmaninoff they're playing?
A Rachmaninoff cello sonata in G minor.
Well, that's going to be very exciting. And I think that the next concert is January 12th and 13th, and you're presenting Stephen Lin, and February 16th and 17th, Yiyan Chen. How do you find these talented young pianists, and what Chopin will they be playing?
You see, this is interesting. Our way of finding them is very complex. As I mentioned before, we look for the finalists of other major competitions who are American citizens, and Stephen Lin is one of them. He was one of the winners of the last year Hilton Head International Piano Competition. Yiyang Chen, on the other way, is a winner of our Chopin Prize at the Music Teachers National Finals. We founded this Chopin Prizes in 3H categories with the Music Teachers Association Performance Competition, just to find the best American Chopin players. So Yiyang Chen is the winner of the last year. We will have a new winner next year, and we go like that.
Now, the program, can we hear what some of that program might consist of?
Our rule in a Chopin for All concert series is that the half of the program is Chopin's music. Our audience requires that. And the other half depends on the pianist's choice. And as you can see in some of the concerts, we have also another instrument. We have cello this time in December. Then in March, we have with Igor Lovchinsky, who is our finalist of a 2000 competition, we have a violinist, Christina McGann. So we try to make our concerts a little bit different, not always the piano recital.
You know, I think our listeners, many of them love Chopin, but they probably forget that he was really a master of the piano. And when you talk about a violinist, they're playing transcriptions of piano music, and maybe in some cases, the cello sonata that he wrote.
Yes, he wrote the cello sonata and the beautiful Polonaise for cello and piano. We heard it before. We not always request the same Chopin program as these two boys, Andrew Tyson and Jonah Kim, are playing Rachmaninoff and Kreisler on top of Chopin's music. We leave them the choice of the duo program.
Now, April 13th and 14th, you have the outreach program for local students with young pianists, and then a special concert with Piotr Kozinski on May 18th and 19th. Did he not play with us before?
He didn't play for us yet. He played for mainly Mozart last year, and this is when we listened to him and we decided to invite him also. And besides, he comes from the exchange program that we have with the Paderewski competition. Our pianists go there to play for them, and we invite their winners.
And that's in Warsaw?
It's not in Warsaw, it's in Bydgoszcz, if you can repeat it.
Bydgoszcz. Well, maybe I did not repeat it so
well. But in
well.
Poland.
It's in Poland. That's what we want to know. And finally, Viga, why don't you give our listeners a description and the schedule for your membership concerts and the collaborative events for 2012-2013?
besides this free concert series, we have other events. As you mentioned, we have elegant membership concert series. This is the salon concerts, we call them, at Lagos Country Club. We just had the first concert on November 18th at Lagos. This is, as I said, salon with a wine reception and dinner following the concert. In January, we will have Ning An, who was the winner of our 2000 National Chopin Competition. And in March, we will have Mei Ting Son, another winner of our Chopin Competition, this time from 2005. In our collaboration with other organizations, we present many concerts. And in January, we have the concert with the reception on the water, as the Rosenstiel School of Marine Science calls it, with a violinist and a pianist again, and it will be a beautiful concert and a beautiful reception. And on March the 1st, we will celebrate in Key Biscayne the birthday of Chopin. This is the day. And May 7th, we will have a collaborative concert in partnership with the French Friends of Chamber Music. On May the 7th, Rafał Blechacz, the winner of the International Chopin Competition in Warsaw, will come here to perform, and he never performed in Miami.
Well, Viga, this sounds very exciting, and I want our listeners to contact you and the organization, and I want to thank you for participating on South Florida Arts Beat.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
The Chopin Foundation of the United States has brought young pianists to South Florida for over three decades. It provides scholarships and opportunities to give real sustenance to young careers through both national and international competition. This season's seven monthly concerts will be presented Saturdays at 3 p.m. at the Broward County Main Library at 100 South Andrews Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, and Sundays at 3 p.m. at Granada Presbyterian Church, 950 University Drive, Coral Gables. Membership concerts are at Lagoras Country Club on Miami Beach, and collaborative events will be performed at UM's Rosenstiel School on Rickenbacker Causeway and FIU's Wertheim Performing Arts Center. For ticket information, call 305-868-0624 or visit chopin.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield has written for the Miami Herald and the Coral Gables Gazette and is a current contributor to famtripper.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
The time is 1:33 and it's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Great to have you along this afternoon. Merrick Festival kicks off the holiday season early in Coral Gables with the Holtz Children's Hospital 2012 Caroling Competition, a Coral Gables tradition for 26 years. Programs run nightly now through December 2nd. Information at 305-491-4180.
You can ring in the holiday season this Sunday at the Pinecrest Gardens Holiday Festival and Gift Bazaar. It's a fun-filled day featuring music and performances that include excerpts from The Nutcracker and Little Mermaid, the Greater Miami Youth Symphony and Jazz Band, choirs and storytellers. You can visit a model train display or take a picture with Santa. There'll be over 50 crafters selling unique gifts, delicious food, and of course, the lighting of the holiday tree. Information at pinecrestgardens.org.
The Legend of Zelda: Symphony of the Goddesses brings what may be the world's most popular video game series to life with a full symphony orchestra and a massive video screen on stage. You can witness 25 years of Zelda game history unfolding, complete with a cinematic video presentation synced to picture with the game's thematic and action-packed music, all performed live, December 9th at the Adrian Arts Center. Information at artscenter.org.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, has great event suggestions for your consideration. A local tourist mecca has now entered the arena of South Florida film festivals. Here's our film critic Dan Hudak to tell us more.
We don't ordinarily think about Key West as a place for movies. For many, Key West is a place for Sloppy Joe's, Margaritaville, Fantasy Fest. You know, hanging back and letting loose while we relax from the hustle and bustle of reality. While it certainly still is all these things, the truth is the best way to learn about a new place is through its arts and culture. Thus, the Key West Film Festival's mission statement that gives it the charge, quote, to showcase films that exhibit excellence in storytelling and capture the essence of what Key West is all about, creativity, diversity, sustainability, and beauty, end quote. Not surprisingly, the festival isn't just a few screenings showcasing movies a Hawaiian-shirted retiree thinks are cool. In contrast, the program is full of top-notch independent and foreign fare, including Dustin Hoffman's directorial debut, Quartet. The film, which centers on a retirement home for opera singers and other musicians set in the English countryside, sees its characters' lives thrown for a loop when a former diva played by Maggie Smith shows up. Quartet is one of more than 30 films showing at the Key West Film Festival over the course of its run through December 2nd. We recently spoke with the founder of the festival, Brooke Christian, to learn more. Mr. Christian, thank you for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat. This is the first year of the festival. Why do it?
Why do it? Well, it's been, I guess, a long time in coming in some respects. Key West has obviously been a long, noteworthy arts community for literature, for one thing, but it's a vibrant arts community in a number of other respects, too, from print art and also film is increasingly popular as well. I'm actually involved and been a bit of factor with a theater in the Keys called The Tropic, which was founded a number of years ago and is devoted to showing mostly independent films, although some other films as well. And they've made a real commitment to film in the community. So getting involved with them and just visiting the Keys over the past 20 to 25 years, I've had some experience with the community. It just seemed like a great stage for this sort of thing. So about a year and a half ago or so, kind of the seed was planted in my head, and met with some folks who were also just kind of share my passion and interest in film itself, and decided to kind of, I guess, herd some cats to get the thing off the ground, and got some financial commitments. And so in about 2 weeks or so, you'll see the debut of what we're pretty excited about.
Yes, I've been to the Tropic. It's the perfect place to do it. Are you relying or expecting just the locals to show up, or are you?
Actually, we're hoping a lot of people from South Florida and around the world come. I have some contacts through business also in European markets, so we expect some people who are involved in film in London as well to come. And you know, as we get greater notoriety and it's promoted more through marketing channels, and we hope to increase exposure. But certainly first year, I think I would expect a good majority of the folks to come either from the Keys themselves or from somewhere in South Florida.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm impressed with your programming. Considering you're just getting off the ground, you have Dustin Hoffman's directorial debut in Quartet. You have Alan Cumming starring in Any Day Now and actually going to appear at the festival. Has it been a challenge for you to not just get people to appear, but just to secure the films in order to be able to show them?
It's certainly, there are many logistical challenges. I don't know that I've ever had to make this many decisions in this shorter period in my whole business career or in my life, but it's been exciting at the same time. Seeing people's responsiveness and willingness to get involved. I mean, Alan Cumming's certainly one. We're very excited to have him, excited about that film. You mentioned Dustin Hoffman's film as well. Obviously, it's his directorial debut, and that's really a great possibility for us all. So I actually hear through the critical channels that Maggie Smith's also getting some Oscar buzz on that film as well. So that'll be great for the community and those who come from other far-reaching places to actually get to see that. So, the logistical challenges have been plenty, but it's also, as things come together, it really is kind of extremely rewarding.
And also, I'm seeing Judy Blume's first-ever feature film. I presume we're discussing Judy Blume, the author.
Correct. She's actually a local Key West resident, or at least for the majority of the year she is, so she will actually be appearing as well. And it's her first full film, and we're really excited to have her participate and talk about the whole process. We have actually a number of panels planned as well to talk about, not just not just screening films, but the process of making them and marketing them, that sort of thing.
And opening night at the Hemingway House, perfect location. Although maybe the Truman Museum, we would have had more space. But I don't know if you could have gotten into the Truman Museum if you wanted to.
Yeah, we're walking before we can run. But yeah, we love the Hemingway House as an opening night venue. Obviously, a lot of history there as well. And so, at least for this year, it seemed like the perfect spot for us. As things evolve and more headway into things, I think we're already thinking about next year extending from 3 days to four. So, yeah, greater possibilities on the horizon for maybe things like the Truman Museum.
Would you extend it out of Key West in the future? I know this is really forward thinking, but bring it up to Marathon maybe?
I certainly think that's possible. I think Marathon experiments a little bit with a film festival of their own and maybe even Key Largo on a smaller scale. So, that, yeah, certainly they're only, at this point, the Tropic and the San Carlos, which is a very historic theater on Duval Street. It's not primarily used to show movies. It's a museum and kind of just an arts venue. Those are only two screening venues this year, so certainly it's of interest to us to potentially expand further northward in the future.
Matt Kearney is giving us a concert. Tell us about him.
Yeah, he's actually a bit of a personal favorite of mine and a number of people attending. So we toyed around with the idea of having a number of different musicians. Didn't want to put the focus too much on music, but certainly somebody I feel like will represent the festival well and get people excited about coming, and I think that's an important part of it as well.
We're talking with Brooke Christian, the founder of the Key West Film Festival. You mentioned the panel discussions a few moments ago. One is about the roles that film festivals play in feature film distribution. Tell us about that, because that's a really interesting topic.
Sure. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of film festivals these days. But I think in many respects, at least for the filmmaking community, that presents greater opportunity. You know, one of the challenges I think this year for us is showing films that were going to appeal to the audience, but not pigeonholing ourselves too much into any one category, while still providing some level of opportunity for independent filmmakers. So in addition to independent filmmakers from everywhere, we do have a specific Florida track. We have one film called Journey to Planet X, which is being done by two South Florida filmmakers that is one of our feature films, and it's gotten some pretty good critical acclaim early on as well. So I think that you know, we're hoping this is another venue, an outlet for filmmakers to get their films known and perhaps distributed more widely and more quickly.
Tell us also about the animation panel.
The animation panel, actually, my assistant director is particularly excited about that. We've got some folks coming in to talk about how animation is obviously very much on the rise in terms of movies that get produced, and talk about some of the challenges that go into that, but also some of the opportunities as well. So we feel like with animation taking kind of as much of a leading role as it does in the films that you see on screen these days, that it's a great topic to discuss. And it obviously gives some attention and some focus to people who, you know, artists who are interested in producing those sorts of films.
Let me get you out on this question, and it's kind of a loaded question, but what would be a good festival for you beyond getting people to come and numbers and a positive response? What do you need in order for you to reflect back and say, wow, that was really awesome. I'm glad I did it. Can't wait to move forward.
I think for me and the other people involved with producing the festival, it's very much about the total experience. So, you know, film is the backdrop and the foundation for that. So we hope to lay a good foundation in that regard, where people feel like the films they saw, that was worth their time before they got in wide release. But also the other events surrounding it, the level of care and the attention that goes into producing those events. We want to make it as seamless an event as possible and kind of provide something for everyone to the extent we can. And so I think the overall experience, I think if I come away from it and others do as well, feeling like it was more than just a chance to see a few movies in a tropical island setting, that I'll feel pretty good about what we accomplished.
Yeah, and it seems like you have a good core group there with the loyal followers to the Tropic to build from, because really it is about you building trust from the people who come in for them to want to come back later. So it sounds like you're off to a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we certainly want to enlist as much support from the local community as we can. Obviously, it's a community that does come in and out of the Keys pretty frequently. So while they're there and spending time there, we'd like to showcase something that they feel good about and they feel like is a positive reflection on the community itself.
Sounds like a lot of fun to me. Brooke, good luck.
Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate it.
The Key West Film Festival began yesterday and runs through this Sunday. Screenings will be held in Key West at the San Carlos Theater, 516 Duval Street, and the Tropic Cinema at 416 Eaton Street. For more information, go to KeyWestFilmFestival.com. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at HudakOnHollywood.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue right after these messages.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Good afternoon. We are funded by listeners like you and by Fair to Remember, a full-service off-premise catering company committed to making your event memorable anywhere in South Florida. Details on scheduling your event at 786-250-6387 and online at fairtoremember.com. The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. Comprehensive Addiction Treatment and Recovery, offered for older adults and baby boomers at Hanley Center, 855-718-2233. Hanley Center, recovery for life.
You can ring in the holiday season this Sunday at the Pinecrest Gardens Holiday Festival and Gift Bazaar. It's a fun-filled day featuring music and performances that include excerpts from The Nutcracker and Little Mermaid, the Greater Miami Youth Symphony and Jazz Band, choirs and storytellers. You can visit a model train display or take a picture with Santa. There'll be over 50 crafters selling unique gifts, delicious food, and of course, the lighting of the holiday tree. Information at pinecrestgardens.org.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs, to tell us everything that's going on in Miami-Dade County.
If I could, if I could get everything that's going on in Miami-Dade County just this weekend alone, let alone what's happening over the next 10 days here, it would be a near miracle. But I will give it a shot. And I'm really excited because tonight and tomorrow night, the Miami-Dade College's Live Arts is presenting Rennie Harris Pure Movement. Mm-hmm. This is a troupe of self-taught street dancers, all of whom turn professional, and they are considered the international ambassadors of hip-hop dance. And Rennie Harris and Pure Movement have been down here pretty regularly over the last couple of years, certainly, and they even helped us during the soft opening of the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Mm-hmm. And they'll be participating with us as part of the Cultural Passport program at the Caleb Auditorium in a couple of weeks as well. But their showcase performance, again brought to us courtesy of Miami-Dade College's Live Arts, is this Friday and Saturday night at the Colony Theater at 8 p.m. They'll be performing to music of Marvin Gaye and Nina Simone, and it's just virtuosity in hip-hop and a beautiful fusion of forms that is so worth seeing. I hope everybody gets their way over to the Colony Theater either Friday or Saturday night, or both. Also, there's a fabulous free family-friendly event this Friday night, a new series, relatively new, that's open called Movies on the Plaza at Brickell World Plaza. That's at 600 Brickell Avenue in downtown. The movies are screened at 8 p.m. And this Friday night, bring your lawn chairs, your family, and a picnic, and enjoy a screening of Phantom of the Opera. And again, that's at Brickell World Plaza, 8 p.m. That's tonight. I have to do the lead in here because if anybody in town does not go to see the Stage Door Theater's performance of Side by Side by Sondheim that opens tonight and runs through December 23rd, my former colleague and a much beloved arts leader in this community, Rem Cabrera, will never forgive you. There is nothing more perfect in the art world in Rem Cabrera's mind than Stephen Sondheim.
Wow.
So you must go see Side by Side by Sondheim, or Rem will come back from Chicago and personally find you and escort you there. But it is it's a fabulous musical review that features the genius of Stephen Sondheim, who is absolutely one of the most influential lyricists and composers of contemporary Broadway theater. So that's at the Byron Carlisle, again, opening tonight and running through December 23rd, being performed by Stage Door Theater. And the Byron Carlisle, again, is at 71st Street in North Beach. Tomorrow night on Saturday, the New World Symphony is presenting a program called Sounds of the Times, Absolute Jest, at the New World Center on Miami Beach. And under the baton of celebrated American composer and conductor John Adams, The program features St. Lawrence String Quartet performing works of Adams, Carter Variations, and a world premiere of a John Adams new work titled Absolute Jest, hence the program title, which he says was inspired by the artistic director, Michael Tilson Thomas, the New World Symphony's artistic director. Very exciting piece, a wonderful opportunity to hear the world premiere of one of America's most celebrated composers, and he will actually be on the podium himself conducting his new work. So a very exciting performance tomorrow night at the New World Center. Also tomorrow night at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium, the Nutcracker performance presented by the Thomas Armour Youth Ballet. As well, there's a performance of the Nutcracker at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center presented by Miami Youth Ballet. And one of the amazing things that I've had the pleasure of observing over my time here in Miami, Ed, is seeing these incredible young artists who are being trained and cultivated and are at the absolute peak of Young's tutelage under the leadership of these outstanding arts leaders that we have here.
Yes.
And the Thomas Armour Youth Ballet cranks out some of the most unbelievable performers. Their dancers go on to perform in every company from Alvin Ailey to our own Miami City Ballet. And the Miami Youth Ballet is under the direction of former primo dancer for the Miami City Ballet, Yanis Piqueras. So these are not your typical youth nutcrackers. These are as good as anything professional you could ever hope to see.
Mm-hmm.
So take in one or both, if you can be in two places at once. But they're both tomorrow night, Thomas Armour at Miami-Dade County Auditorium and Miami Youth Ballet at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Just to remind everybody, the Art Basel Week is about to descend upon us.
Oh.
And it's exactly. And I'm reminded in trying to think how I can convey all of this information of the old FedEx commercial where the guy was the fast talker. So I'm going to do my best impersonation of that and say, this is some of what you can enjoy during Basel. Scope Miami, Miami River Art Fair, Context, Art Miami, Select Fair, Art Spot Miami, Red Dot Art Fair, Design Miami, 7, Unsaid Unspoken, the Ink Miami Art Fair, Overture Miami Art Fair. And that's just some of the art fairs that you can enjoy, of course, in addition to the main event, which is at the Convention Center, Art Basel Miami Beach. And that runs from the 5th through the 9th of December. Also be aware that not just those satellite fairs, but each of the museums has programming up and running. They'll be open all evenings throughout the whole week. Clubs and restaurants have Basel fever. So there will be incredible music in every... There isn't a square inch of Miami-Dade County that is going to be Basel-free. So just get out, enjoy it. It is one of the most exciting times to be here. And all of these great fairs from the mainland and Wynwood in particular, over to the beach, up to North Miami at the Museum of Contemporary Art, down to Deep South Dade, there is Basel everywhere. And including the Pop-Up Piano Miami event. This is a repeat of an event that I believe was pioneered, I think, just last year. It might have been 2 years ago. And the Steinway Piano Gallery is going to be presenting a series of spontaneous impromptu concerts at locations that you just have to be lucky enough to be around. But 7 pianos are going to be popping up all over Miami over the course of the week. So be on the lookout for that as well. It's tremendously, tremendously fun. This weekend as well, the Miami Science Museum is presenting its annual Miami Underwater Festival. Again, a fabulous event for families to enjoy all together. And it features prize-winning films, fish on display, tons of kids' activities, tons of interactive things, special guest speakers, live marine-themed activities to participate in. And again, all weekend long at the Miami Science Museum. That's this weekend, December 1st and 2nd. And the Science Museum is at 3280 South Miami Avenue. This is an absolute blast, really a fun, fun family activity. Oh, you know what? I didn't finish my Basel. There's Nada, there's Fountain, there's Just Mad, there's Pulse. You get the idea. But jumping back to theater for a moment, the Miami Theater Center, which is located at 9806 Northeast 2nd Avenue, it is also home to Playground Theater and the Miami Shores Theater, is presenting an outstanding performance of Russian master Anton Chekhov's brilliant play, Three Sisters. This production is directed by Stephanie Anson, and it is just spellbinding, an absolutely wonderful, wonderful performance of a play that we don't really see staged here very often. So I would urge people, that's up through December 23rd at Miami Theater Center. Again, that's located at 9806 Northeast 2nd Avenue. Next Saturday at the Pinecrest Gardens, they're presenting their regular series, Jazz at Pinecrest Gardens, and that's going to feature the Rodriguez brothers. Again, that's just a delightful evening, fun for the whole family, beautiful performance, and the Rodriguez brothers have just released their third album, Mood Swings, and that's, again, next Saturday, December 8th at Pinecrest Gardens.
A great music family.
Fabulous, fabulous music family. And then on Sunday, on December 9th, the Miami International Piano Festival is presenting its Classical Sundays at 5 series, and that's going to be up at the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center. And the program is featuring Jorge Luis Prats, a Cuban pianist, in a program titled A Voyage from Vienna to Cuba. And they call it Classical Sundays at 5 because curtain time is 5 p.m. at Aventura Arts and Cultural Center. And then also on next Sunday, Silent Night, Seraphic Fire's Candlelight Christmas Concert, is going to be performed at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Anyone who heard their holiday performance last year is still talking about it, so you really don't want to miss out. The Seraphic Fire organization, that brilliant professional chorus, has been nominated for Grammys and is just taking the world by storm. We're really proud of them. Get down to the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center on Sunday.
Shameless plug, they perform next Friday on South Florida Arts Beat.
You are so smart.
Thank you.
Yep. And that's it for this week.
Deborah Margol, a font of information. Thank you so much. She's the Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great suggestions.
Thanks so much, Ed. Enjoy.
Good weekend. And let me mention, this Sunday, December 2nd, 7 to 10 p.m., New Theater presents their 27th season party at PAX. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, go to new-theater.org or call 305-401-1171 for more information. DJ LaSpam will be spinning the vinyl. And the Village Vel Portal presents Little River Celebration and 75th Anniversary, Saturday, December 8th. It's a full day of events from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. There'll be featured a bird tour, a History of the River lecture, the River Serenade, where you can bring your own canoe or kayak or register for one in advance, the Little River Parade, and a family picnic and concert. For more information, go to elportalale.org or elportalvillage.com. The Village of El Portal's Little River Celebration and 75th Anniversary. Me Making Melody, a 1940s radio variety show, is scheduled for 3 performances at the historic Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Overtown, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, December 7th through the 9th. Admission is free, and you must reserve your tickets in advance by calling 305-379-4147. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, with production assistance by Richard Ives. We'd also like to thank our great contributors on the show, Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, and Deborah Margol. Please, we'd like to hear your comments. You can call us at 305-995-2258. You can fax your info to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. Have yourself a great weekend, and until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.